Hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. This is the JRPG Report, episode 166. My name is James Fisher, and we've got a really fun podcast for you guys today. Lots of stories broke in the Japanese role-playing game world, so let's get into it with some fun stories. I think we're going to go through some FF14 news, Monster Hunter stories. 2 is in the news. Edge of Eternity popped up. Even got some old Legend of Heroes Crossbell Saga news, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. And just a bunch of things here and there, but let's start with Final Fantasy, as the big Final Fantasy 14 Fan Festival 2021 went on. So we had anticipated we would get some Endwalker news, and that is exactly what happened. Square Enix announced that Final Fantasy XIV Endwalker DLC expansion will launch for PlayStation 5, PS4, and PC via Steam, as well as Mac, on November the 23rd. So you've got about 6 months or so to get ready for the newest expansion. Let's see, did it have a price point? That I don't see. So no pricing just yet, but they did, of course, announce an addition to being able to download if you choose. There is a physical collector's edition. This bundle includes a copy of the digital collector's edition for PC or Mac, as well as a physical collector's box. So I guess the game is pretty much disc-based. that's for Steam. For PS5, PS4, and Steam, the collector's box will be available to order as a standalone product, while the digital collector's edition is available for pre-order via the PSN store or Steam. Here's what's in that collector's box. Of course, you get a special art box, what they say is a unique, glossy, white inlaid box that features an illustration of Heidelin and Zodiark by famed Final Fantasy longtime artist Yoshitaka Amano. An expertly crafted Paladin figure showcases one of the Warriors of Light using passage of arms to shield allies from harm. The figure itself, let's see, is almost 7 inches wide, 8.5 inches in diameter, and a height of about just over 7 inches. So that's a pretty decent size figure. An art collection and frame set. This is going from key visuals from all the series, all the way from version 1.0 through Endwalker. An Azim pin and a Loperit mini plush. I guess that's how you say that. The plush itself is about 6.5 inches tall. The digital collector's edition, you get the in-game. This is a new mount to the series. We'll talk about it in a minute. The Aron mount. A new in-game item, the Windup Parm minion. And a new in-game item, the Death Scythe Reaper weapon. We will talk about that, I think, a little bit later. Pre-orders for any edition of Windwalker from participating retailers include the following bonuses. You get early access to it. Early access is tentatively scheduled to begin on Friday, November the 19th at 1 a.m. Pacific time, allowing players to play it before. An in-game item of the Minfinia earring, which is, they say, a gorgeous earring, which is a design that draws inspiration from the moon, and the aforementioned in-game item, Windup Palm Minion. This is one of the young twins from Final Fantasy IV, so that's obviously pretty cool. You can't help but kind of get those Final Fantasy IV vibes from Endwalker, period, since it's on the moon, which, spoiler alert, if you've not played FF4, which you've only had about, 30 years or so, that is at the very end, in uncharacteristic Final Fantasy fashion, you do end up going to the moon. Highly recommend that, of course. Square Enix also announced some new content for Endwalker. The first up is the new job, the Reaper class. They say the Reaper is a scythe-wielding melee DPS specialist who calls upon an avatar from the void to join them in close-quarter combat. Reapers can even serve as a host for their avatar. It's a brutal, flamboyant fighting style that's quite unlike anything else in FF14. And kind of an odd thing is, if you played Final Fantasy XII, you know the race of Vieiras, which Fran was a part of. Well, there's a new playable race, and that is the male Vieira. I don't recall males. Maybe they were out and about, obviously, you know, not to get too specific, but you kind of need both to have a species, in particular if you remember the village and there weren't too many dudes hanging around. But male Vieira will join in Walker as a new playable race, giving the Warriors of Light yet another race to enjoy during their adventures. There is the new city of it's a new city to the series, but it's the old Charlotte, I guess that's how you say that. You can travel to expansive new areas of Labyrinthos and the Mare Lamentorum. Labyrinthos is an artificial training ground that's quite unlike anything the Warriors have seen before. For something a little less earthbound, you get to traverse the stunning lunar landscape of the Mare Lamentorum. New tribes to encounter include the Laparatus. They are bunny-like creatures who add a touch of adorableness to the expansion. New threats to overcome. So another homage to FF4 and even FF10. The Magus Sisters. You'll be pitted against some particularly tough foes. The trio of troublemakers first appeared in FF4 and later returned to support unit as powerful Aeons in Final Fantasy X. Now they're back, and this new form may be the most intimidating yet, they say. A new Alliance Raid series, The Myths of the Realm, and a new data center, Oceana, highlight some of the other additions to the game. There was a plethora of new images and videos that came out for it, so you'll want to head over to our YouTube channel to check those all out, including the new mount. You get a video for that. A dungeon crawl video, which is pretty fun. You're going to take a look at the new towns and cities, new areas, and of course the Male Vieira new race in the Reaper job class, as well as a full they call it the full trailer for the game. I want to say it added an extra 2 or 3 minutes to the aforementioned Endwalker trailer that came out a little bit ago. Looks amazing. I mean, this game continues to look so impressive. And from my understanding is Endwalker is going to be the final expansion for Realm Reborn, but we'll wait and see. That's, you know, you never want to stop a good thing going. So I'd imagine they'll still have future plans for it in some way, shape, or form. In other FF14 news, the PlayStation 5 version will begin official service alongside the launch of patch 5.55 that is coming on May the 25th, Square Enix announced. So that's really cool. I think it's currently in beta form, getting it all ready for its launch in, from today it's 5 days. The PS5 version features faster load times, 4K resolution support, high resolution user interface, DualSense wireless control haptic feedback support, new trophies, and 3D audio support. Very, very cool stuff. They also had a roadmap for it. So, of course, on May 25th, you get patch 0.55. In July, they're going to have a Make It Rain campaign. Sometime in June or July is patch 5.57. Shortly after that, July or August to 5.58. In August comes the Moonfire Fair / The Rising. In September, they are getting a Final Fantasy 15 collaboration event returning. And then, as we mentioned before, finally, on November 23rd, you get the Endwalker expansion launch. So the Final Fantasy 14 Fan Festival was quite amazing and awesome. And they are got lots of big things coming down the road. I did get just a short little tidbit. As part of that patch, there's going to be some Final Fantasy 12 inspired armor sets. That's always a cool thing. One of my more favorite Final Fantasy experiences. And one of the characters, female characters, looks like Pinello. So I guess that's kind of where they're going with that. And there's a one of the female characters has some Vier look to her. That's always very good stuff. So if you are a Final Fantasy 14 online player, you've got a lot to look forward to. And many, many more memories to create coming down the road. Last week, we said that this was going to be the final trailer for Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate, and that was true, but they did have some more screenshots and information come up about the game, being dangerously close to too much information, as Square Enix always likes to do. What I do like, and this is a cool thing, they had a cool new key visual feature. If you recall, back with Remake, they kind of had the group facing, I guess the quote unquote camera, looking at, you. Well, they flipped that image around and you can actually see what they're looking at, which is overlooking Midgar, assumingly at the end of Remake Part 1. This would be something that they would be doing and looking back over the city as the sun rises. It's just pretty cool to kind of see the backside of the characters and as they're looking, overlooking it. It's a beautiful image. There was a bunch of other images that came out as well as some information about Nero. So if you saw the latest trailer, he is the very odd-looking character. That's putting it nicely with 1, 2, 2, at least 10 arms, mechanical arms going up behind him. Very creepy-looking dude. He is the brother of Weiss, who is another character, bad guy we're going to be running into in Project Intermission. They say Nero is a member of the elite unit within the D-Ground, known as the Civets, I guess is how you say it. As a result of experiment that brought him into the world, he has the power to control darkness. You see in the trailer, he's kind of enveloping everything in the darkness of the abyss. It's pretty creepy looking, to say the least. One of the also the other things that I wish I hadn't seen in the trailer was Scarlet jumping in there with her giant piece of my first assumption was it looked like a modern day magic armor from Final Fantasy VI. They're going to say it's called the Crimson Mare, and they didn't use the word Magitek, just saying is a suit of battle armor that you get to fight against her using Yuffie and Xion. Cool looking fight. Like I said last week, it was one of those things like I kind of wish that I hadn't seen. It would have been a good surprise to kind of see in it. They talked about the battle mechanics of Integrate and Intermission in particular a little bit more with Yuffie and did I say Xion? Is that how you say his name? Sonon? I can never haven't figured out how to say his name exactly. S-O-N-O-N. You can't control him, but he can be given orders. So by pressing L2, it will engage synergy with Yuffie, allowing them to team up for special attacks to more easily stagger enemies. If both Yuffie and Sonon have ATB charges available, they can perform synergized versions of certain attacks, including the synergized Art of War, which is a buffet of enemy blows. you buffet the enemy with blows, and all subsequent attacks deal increased damage. Kind of just looks like since there's only the two of them, that they really focused on more team attacks, which is what you would really need to gain any sort of advantage in combat with only two as opposed to your normal three. Synergized Windstorm will create a gust of wind that damages nearby enemies and launches them towards you. That's really cool. Of course, Limit Breaks are back. Yuffie's Limit Break of Bloodbath will unleash a flurry of blows that deals a large amount of damage. Sonon's limit break is Dance of the Dragon. Deliver a myriad of blows with your staff, doing a large amount of damage. They detailed the minigame Fort Condor, which when I was playing the original game, I was no fan of the Fort Condor section. You guys kind of know my struggles with RTS and strategy type games. This looks to be a little bit different, more like a modern day chessboard. My first thought when I very first saw it was kind of more like the digital chess game that Luke and Chewbacca play on the Millennium Falcon, kind of like a modern version of that. They say the minigame Fort Condor is a game of strategy in which two players deploy units to conquer their opponent's base and defend their own. Recently, the game has seen an uptick in popularity in the Sector 7 Undercity, and word on the street is that those who defeat the Grandmaster win a rare orb of materia. First, select what board, which determines the number of ATB charges and materia available to you. Use along with the units you wish to deploy. So it looks like it's a pretty complicated system to go. Your units will be assigned one of three roles, Vanguard, Ranged, or Defense. These roles determine what enemies will be effective against, kind of like a rock, paper, scissors type of deal. Materia can be used to cast powerful spells, but keep in mind that each orb can only be used once per match, so timing is everything. In the new trailer, we got to see a old familiar friend in the summon category of Rama. Apparently, and this is according to Twitter, so it must be true, Ramuh, apparently is supposed to be pronounced Ramu, as in R-O-M-O-O. I don't know how you've pronounced it all these years. That was news to me, and it sounds ridiculous, so I'm not going to do that. If you have the summon of materia equipped and the summon gauge is full, you'll be able to invoke a powerful entity to aid you in combat. Summons fight alongside you automatically, but you can issue commands to them using your party member's ATB charges. Just before the entity leaves battle, they deliver the devastatingly ultimate attack. The fabled Lord Levin is capable of bending lightning to his will to strike down enemies. It is said that once he cast judgment on the wicked with mighty bolts and exhorted humanity to accept the ways of law and order, his ability is Voltaic Lance. He summons a lance of lightning that deals damage to nearby enemies for a short period of time, but of course, has been for a long time, his ultimate attack is Judgment Bolt. Conjures a powerful lightning storm that lays waste to all enemies on the battlefield. One of the, one of the few bright moments. There was plenty of bright and memorable moments in Final Fantasy XV, but certainly one of the best was when you finally got to summon him under random circumstances. It just kind of happens, right? In Final Fantasy XV, but yeah, this game looks pretty incredible. At this moment, I've been trying for the past couple days. I got the green light from the wife to try to win the PlayStation 5 lottery, which seems like that's what you have to do in order to win one of these things. The rumor is that today, May 20th, was going to be a big restock day. So pretty much as soon as I get done wrapping up this podcast, I'm going to open up a bunch of browsers on the computer and log in and have payment information ready and all that stuff. And hopefully one of these things will drop. I think yesterday they had a few of them available, but like GameStop had them, but they were bundles, which, like the bundle, I didn't want the games that were in there necessarily, and that's even more expensive than this crazy. Anyway, so wish me luck, and maybe I can get this so that I can play Remake Integrate when it launches on June the 10th. Capcom released a new official story trailer for Monster Hunter Stories 2, Wings of Ruin today. It said that was a more story-based trailer, so kind of explaining some of the things that are going on in this sequel. If you are interested in checking that out, it just came out this morning, so the story introduction trailer. That's what it was called. If you'll head over to our YouTube channel, you can check that out in full. I don't want to ruin anything for people who want to keep that a secret, so you can watch that if you so choose. Capcom will also host a Monster Hunter digital event on May the 26th at 7 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will feature information on Monster Hunter Rise version 3.0 update, and of course on the upcoming Monster Hunter Stories 2, Wings of Ruin, which is due out for a Switch and PC via Steam on July the 9th. You can watch it on YouTube. It will have both English and Japanese support. If you are a Monster Hunter fan and you love the music in particular, you can now listen to the Monster Hunter Rise official soundtrack via Spotify and other streaming platforms. This includes Apple Music and Amazon Music. There are a total of 109 songs available to stream or purchase. You can get the entire soundtrack for roughly $41, or if you're already paying for those services, you can snag it and stream it to your heart's content. We had mentioned a few weeks ago, I believe, about Ni No Kuni 2 getting an ESRB rating, which means it was coming to the Switch, and that has finally been confirmed. It will arrive on Switch on September the 17th. It will include, it will launch both physically and digitally on September 17th. That's in the Americas and Europe, and it's going to be full priced at $59.99. The game first launched for PS4 and Steam back in March of 2018. They say, in addition to the full critically acclaimed campaign from the original game, they're calling this the Prince's Edition, of course, will include both DLC packs, The Lair of the Lost Lord and Tale of a Timeless Tome, which was, they're saying, a $25 value that will be included in this Prince's Edition for the Switch. No word if there's going to be some sort of PlayStation 4, you know, complete edition or anything like that. That may come somewhere down the line. There was a Nintendo Switch announcement trailer that came out for it, and I believe you know where to head to in order to check that out. That would be the JRPG Report YouTube channel. We talked a few weeks ago with Dalton about Edge of Eternity, the JRPG-inspired PC game by publisher Dear Villagers and developer Midgar Studio. Well, there was they released an 8-minute gameplay walkthrough video, also available on our YouTube channel. It is narrated by Micah Solsuot, who voices Darren in the game. The walkthrough video showcases the characters, worlds, and stories that the players will encounter in the land of Heron. Very much looking forward to this game. It is currently in early access for PC. It will launch in full on June the 8th, followed by a PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One console release sometime in quarter four of 2021. So if you are, maybe we piqued your curiosity talking about this one, you can see exactly for yourself what it's all about and kind of get a glimpse of what he was excited for from actually playing the game and what I'm excited to finally get to play sometime later on this year. We haven't talked a ton about it because news has been a little sketch. Geofront has finished their fan translation for the second Crossbell title in the Legend of Heroes series, Trails to Azure. Eo no Kiseki, you might also know it as. And that translation will launch in 2 days on March the 22nd. So fans have been really waiting for them to get done their work. It's tireless work. It is extremely difficult to do. Would have been nice if it could have just got that, you know, from Falcom directly themselves. But, you know, Geofront did the work instead. So I'm just going to read you what it says. In order to play the PC version with the fan translation mod, you'll need to have one of the following. The bg_setup.rar RAR file for Joyolands release for PC in Chinese, a previously existing installation of Aonokaseki for PC in Chinese without the GRFront mod installed, or a physical copy of the game for PC in Chinese, which was released in mainland China, Taiwan, or Hong Kong. We shared this information on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Further details on how to purchase the PC version can be found in this article via a link. There you go. I barely understand what they're saying there myself, so you'll want to follow the link. I'm sure some of you are a little more PC savvy than I, and will be able to knock this out no problem. There was an awesome new trailer for the fan translation. We've got that linked on our YouTube channel. It's really, I give a huge round of applause to GeoFront for doing this. It's kind of a shame that we don't have these games available in the West for consoles. It's cool that this is finally available for PC owners, but Falcom really needs to get these out there. When I've talked with Legend of Heroes fans, which of course I'm a part of, they really hold the two Crossbell games in high regard. And eventually I'm going to find out what it's all about. Maybe this is the beginning of that process actually happening. Very cool stuff from the fine folks over at GeoFront. Square Enix released a bit more information and some awesome new screenshots for its upcoming sequel, Nioh: The World Ends With You. This included the new characters Tsuchiguchi, Suzukichi, Sanganumi, Fuya, Kanon, Motoi, the Threads and Remind Systems, shops, brands, restaurants, new locations, and pins. I put all the images together into a slideshow. You can check it out on our YouTube channel. But if you'd like to read all about this game, I talked about it a lot, so I don't want to say too much more for it. If you want to keep it kind of fresh for yourself, head over to our Facebook or our Twitter pages, and you can read all about this stuff. But I definitely talked about the team battles, which they're calling Turf Wars Scramble Slams. That's pretty cool. The new characters, the Ruin Bringers, they say they're known as the strongest team, with a big old strong dude to lead them. That is Tsuchiketchi, I believe that's how you say the name. All the new characters, the Deep Rivers Society, which is who Fuya is a part of. The Viera Beauties, which is who Kanon is a part of. That's pretty cool. The Pure Hearts, which is Moto's group. They talked about the what they call threads, which is, I guess, your equipment system in the game. The shops of Shibuya. And all the brands that are in there. All kinds of good stuff for you to go through. If you are a fan of the first World Ends With You, no doubt you are looking forward to this one and all the fun things that are going to be involved with it. I did hear one of the commenters on one of our videos did mention there was going to be some light social link aspects to this game. Not quite as deep as the Persona series, but that was going to be kind of introduced in this one. I don't think that was in the first one as much. I don't think that should, you know, put you off by any stretch or make you upset. I think, like I said, I think it's going to be kind of light and just add some value to your team and give you some insight into the characters. In addition to those images, Square Enix also released the opening movie for the game, which is due out for PlayStation 4 and Switch on July the 27th worldwide. It's coming to PC via the Epic Game Store later this summer. There was also two short Japanese commercials for it. I kind of combined those into one. You can find both those over at our YouTube channel. I always like the Japanese commercials. You know, rarely do we get video game commercials here in the West. Actual TV commercials. You know, there's plenty of trailers, obviously, but, you know, something that's made specifically for television to watch. It kind of always comes across as pretty cheesy for some reason. They can't quite nab that. And obviously, since the invention of the internet, people know where to go to get this stuff. They're not watching it on television anyway. but yeah, those are available over there for you to check out. We got a release date for Akiba's Trip, Hellbound, and Debriefed. It will launch for PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC via Steam, GOG, and the Humble Store on July 20th in North America. A few days later, July the 23rd in Europe for $39.99. Publishers Exceed Games and Marvelous Europe, as well as developer Acquire, announced. It actually comes out today in Japan, so exactly 2 months afterwards. That's a pretty good turnaround. There will also be a 10th anniversary physical edition available for $49.99 via the Exceed Games online store and participating retailers for $49.99. A digital deluxe edition is also available for PlayStation 4 and Steam for $49.99. So if you've been looking forward to this one, you only got 2 more months to wait for its Western release. Also coming out in a little over a month in Japan is the Kuglia Effect 2. It has gone gold, so that means they are all wrapped up. It is ready to go on June 24th in Japan. We're going to be getting it a little bit later in the fall in North America and Europe. It's always good that these things go gold and know that there was no problems going on with it. Got an announcement that Kadokawa Games is bringing back the Demon Gaze game. Now, this one came out back on Vita back in April of 2014. Well, they're going to call this an enhanced version of it, and they're going to slap the word extra at the end of it. It's coming for PlayStation 4 and Switch. Will launch on September the 2nd in Japan. No word yet on a Western release. While the original Demon Gaze was developed by Experience, Demon Gaze Extra is developed by Cattle Call with supervision by Experience. This new version will feature upgraded graphics and production, improved controls, and possibly even additional story content set after the game. I took a glance over at my Vita section. I was like, oh, I actually own this game. And I'm guessing that means that I've not played it. So yeah, another shockingly, right? You know, there's another game in the old backlog that I've not got a chance to play. They released some images for that today, as long as a teaser trailer. So I said, yeah, these teaser trailers kind of short. So let me put these images with the trailer. You can check all that out if you're interested over on our YouTube channel, as well as a new trailer. I would say this is a teaser trailer as well. And I meant to do this, to take Dalton's pronunciation of this game and make it into a little sound file that I could just insert at any time, because he's got it knocked down. Shinran Ninja Ninja Tyson Neptune Tsugoshu Tasi no Kyokuden. There you go. That's my best try. They added the female Goi the Crow from Shinobado Way of the Ninja game. That was a PS2 game, I do believe. I'm not even sure if that made it over here. But yeah, they've added some new characters for that Shinran Kagura Neptunia crossover action RPG game that I won't say again. But if you're curious about it, if you've played maybe that original Way of the Ninja game, you'd be like, oh, I remember that game. Let's see how it looks in some slightly better graphics, right? In other news, Sega will host the Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis Prologue 4 live stream on May the 25th at 20:30 Japan Central Time, the publisher announced. You can watch that on YouTube. The live stream will feature the latest information on the game, including new fields that were not playable in the closed beta test, characters that appear in the story, scratch items, and more, as well as the post-launch roadmap. will be introduced. So if you're looking forward to that, there's you another live stream to check out. A game that's been out for a while for other platforms, that is Dragonstar Veneer. It first launched for PlayStation 4 in June of 2019 in the West, followed that up with a PC version. Well, Idea Factory International has announced that the Switch is finally going to get it on May the 27th in Japan via the eShops, that's digital only, Compile Heart announced. No word on if it's coming to the West or not, but I'd say it's a decent possibility. We shall wait and see. This one kind of came under the radar, and I only heard about it at the very end. Tales of Arise put out a couple screenshots as they are starting to introduce some of the other characters. I guess the first one, this is from their Twitter page, the first one is that big old bad guy that was in one of the latest trailers. In the trailer, he was identified as Vizo, but that's actually not his name. He is called Balsef, Balsep. And he's got himself a little throne to sit on in Caliglia. And then there's four images in total, in addition to him on the throne and with his giant axe. No more information that we didn't already know. Just that he's one of the people that's kind of overseeing the subjects of the Donnan people and misusing their astral energy. He collects the slave, after the slaves collected, he then takes it for himself. So yeah, nothing new, but it is cool to see these new HD images and get the proper name for this big old bad guy. Tales series have always kind of had some of those antagonists that you've got to go up against, and big dudes seem to pop up from time to time, and big dudes like to wield big axes. So looks like that'll be quite a test here pretty soon. I will quickly, speaking of Tales things, if you tuned in to the Steam Machine podcast anticipating me and Dalton's talk about Tales of Berseria, we had to push that back a week. It's a longer game than I remember just by the numbers. My first playthrough put in at 90 hours. I don't think it's that long. I don't know why it took that long for me. But he was a little, hadn't quite got through it. We're really pushing for both of us to be done with it. Obviously, I've already beat it, so I don't need to beat it quite again for us to talk about it. But he asked if I wanted to record last week, and I was like, dude, I really want you to try to beat it because, like most games, things happen at the end, and I'd like to talk about it in full. And if he hadn't experienced that yet, it'd be kind of hard to tiptoe around what he knew and didn't know. So we are going to record that, I believe, this Saturday, and then it'll come out for this Sunday show for him. So I told you to tune in last week. I'm sorry, but barring anything crazy happening, that should record. You can check that out next week. We should have a lot of fun. I'm greatly enjoyed playing that game all over again. It is fantastic. If you've not played it, go get it. One way you can get that right now, and this is our final story for the day, is there's a Humble Best of Bandai Namco bundle. And one of the games in there is Tales of Berseria. So here's how it goes. So they say, here are all the games available in each tier of the bundle. As a reminder, you get all previous tiers when you beat the average. Pay $12 or pay $20. Refer to their website and rules as far as that all goes to say this. But for $1, you get Pac-Man 250. That's pretty cool. If you beat the average, you get Little Nightmares Complete Edition, Rad, and Tales of Zestiria. Not a bad game, especially at that price. For $12, you get Katamari Damacy Reroll. Excellent game. Tekken 7. And Tales of Berseria. For $12, come on. plus these other ones? You gotta be kidding me. For $20, you'll get Project Cars 3 and Code Vein. So if you do not have these games and want to load up, that seems like a really good time to do that. so I guess for $12, technically you would get both Tales of Zestiria and Berseria, which if you didn't already know, these games, while not being sequels in a sense, they are very, very connected and intertwined. So Tales of Xillia 1 and 2, those would be sequels, right? Those have the same cast, although some added characters in part 2. Very much a sequel to the game. These two games, heavily, heavily connected. I would not say it was a sequel, though. That would not... they didn't call it part 2 for a reason. But you will... I didn't like Zestiria. I loved Berseria. But I'm glad I played it in order to get everything that is going on in Berseria. Very good. So, yeah. Humble Bundle, if you're on the old PC, you want to pick this up, there you go. Very good chance to pick up some amazing games for not a whole lot of money. That's going to do it for episode 166. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter for story. We do stuff every day practically on there. Follow if the news comes out. I post it on there for you to keep up with the news. Then we talk about it on the podcast. And if you've not already, give us a subscription on YouTube. We're getting pretty close to that 1,000 mark. And if you'd like to support this podcast and what we do, not only here, but there on YouTube, you can do so via Patreon. Search for JRPG Report. You can do it directly through this podcast by clicking on the anchor link, or even through PayPal direct deposit, you know, direct support. That's fine with me too. James Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, productions at gmail.com. Thank you so much once again. We'll catch you again next week on this podcast, and check out the Steam Machine podcast with me and Dalton talking all kinds of tail stuff. But until next time, get back out there and level up.